as you know, we've been receiving an awful lot of very good prophetic instruction through prophecies and dreams and visions here lately. And there are a few things coming together right now that I think are fairly important for people to know about. Number one is, you know, the devil copies everything that God does. You know the story of Moses coming on the scene to bring God's people into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, and him being opposed by Jannes and Jambres, you know, who were, of course, Pharaoh's sorcerers or magicians. And we've got such a situation about to happen, I believe, right now. And that is that the devil always copies what the Lord is going to do. And as you know, we've put out an awful lot of information on things that the Lord has revealed to us and backed it up with scriptures and concerning what's going to happen in these end times. And frankly, some of the wicked are picking up on it and using it for their own evil ends. And that's always been history, too. And one thing I want to tell you is coming down the pike here is a false man-child ministry is about to be revealed. I don't think it'll deceive anybody that loves the Word and loves the truth, but it's coming. And it'll, of course, be according to man's ways and man's glory and so on and so forth. And we just got this revelation from Garrett Crawford, who had this dream back in the middle of last month. And let me share it with you. It's pretty specific. Garrett said, I arrived at a gym to attend a basketball camp. I wanted to improve my skills and become a better player. There was two different groups in this gym. The one to the left were the hot shots, very skilled players. They were not practicing on their skills. Rather, they were playing 5-on-5, showcasing their fancy moves. I really wanted to join this camp because it looked more fun and exciting. I sat down on the bleachers with about 20 to 30 others waiting to get into the game. But as I watched, I realized that this game would not suit me, or did not suit me. I was not as fancy as these players. And I noticed that over to the right of the gym was another group of guys. They were very orderly and lined up into like five rows of five each. And each had a ball, and they were dribbling in unison together. They were not competing against one another, which I think is a key phrase. And they all looked the same, I think is another key phrase. That's when I noticed that maybe I had made a bad choice wanting to play with the group on the left. Well, as you know, the ones on the left are the goats, right? And the key here is there is a lot of competition going on out there in Christianity. The sects of Christianity are playing their little competitive games, attempting to outdo one another in a false show, you know, like these guys. They're showcasing their fancy moves, right? They're placed on the left as goats, and they're stubborn and self-willed, and their interest is to build their own kingdom, not the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And those on the right who follow Christ in truth are not competing or putting on a show, but seeking to be skillful in the work as they become one with Him. It was obvious that they are not competing against one another, which is great. The goal is not to beat our brothers out or to have the fastest religion to the finish line. The goal is obviously for everybody to make it to the goal. That's quite contrary to basketball, isn't it? Everybody to make it to the goal. And something else we noticed here is they all look the same. The ones on the right, they all look the same. Well, they should look the same because they have one goal, and that is to walk as Jesus walked. And, of course, if everybody's got their own goal, there's going to be a lot of competition and a lot of kingdom building and these kind of things. But if we've all got the same goal, then we're all going to look the same. You know, we have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to try to help everybody around us to make the goal, right? Obviously, this is not a game. This is we're playing for keeps here, and we only get one time around here, right? And there may be people from a different persuasion that we may think that we need to get competitive with because of their difference, and we have to convert them, we have to convince them of our way, and so on and so forth. But just remember this, they need to make it to the goal too. And you need to be a skillful person to be able to help them to do that. And if you're competitive, that's not going to happen, because the first thing they're going to do is have their defenses up. Right, so we need to be a skillful worker of God's will in this. He goes on. Garrett goes on. He says, during the game which was being played by the men on the left, all kinds of important people were coming to watch it. Many of which were famous coaches and their wives. I recall looking out the window and seeing a lot of expensive cars pull up. And I saw a group of women walking through the parking lot to the gym. And someone said that those were the wives of the Kansas City Chiefs coaches. Wow, that's a key phrase right there, right? Many were impressed by the sight of them. And it only added allure and excitement to what was taking place in the gym. Well, you know, the Kansas City false revival leaders are promoting this false movement of goats who are putting on an impressive show to deceive the people on the left. You know, they're not only on the left, they're deceiving the people who are on the left. You know, birds of a feather flock together. It's not an accident that these are the Kansas City coaches, because that's where the biggest false prophet and so-called false apostolic movement is coming from at this particular time. They're putting on an impressive show. But as we've seen, and even the world has seen here recently, there's a lot of fakery in it. Okay. Well, these false apostles, you know, from that persuasion, had anointed and appointed Todd Bentley, just before the world discovered his corrupt life and fake miracles. In their attempts to join in his fame, they were discovered to have no discernment whatsoever after they anointed and appointed him. And really, this is just, although this particular dream points this group out, this is just one of the sects of the false prophets or apostles. And, folks, there's a group of them coming down the road that they know a little bit about the man-child, and they plan to be just that, the man-child. But they're fake apostles, as the Bible, as we've already seen, and as the Bible is going to show. Matter of fact, I'll just share one little thing I know that is going on. Before we go on with this, I'll point something out to you. That recently in a video, there was an alliance. Actually, it's the usapostolicalliance.org, and this alliance is an alliance of a bunch of apostles that have the same persuasion, that is, the false revival movement persuasion. And many of these are the people that anointed Todd Bentley, and it's people like Dutch Sheets and C. Peter Wagner, Chuck Pierce, Robert Henderson. Their alliance, by the way, has a street address that has 666 in it. That's not always a sign, but definitely is in this case. But anyway, Dutch Sheets said, quote, "Our ministry in Colorado Springs, along with many others, I'm sure, has been privileged by God to help birth this." What is he talking about, birthing here? Well, I can tell you, it's a man-child ministry. But it isn't made up of the humble people that God is putting forth, but a bunch of charlatans. "We were visited by the Holy Spirit," I'll put that in quotes, "June the 15th, and asked to host his presence 24/7 for 90 days, just as Obed-Edom did the Ark of the Covenant, also called the Ark of his presence. We were suspended, we have suspended everything else to host him, meaning the presence of the Lord. No classes, no preaching, even on Sundays, no programs, nothing but worship. It has wrecked us. That's a term that they use, wrecked us, to mean that they're good for nothing when they're zonked out in the, what they call the spirit. Okay. His presence has been so overwhelming at times in our gatherings that none of us knows what to do. We are being ruined for normal Christianity. No, I can tell you that's exactly the truth. They are being ruined for any kind of normal Christianity. But anyway, they believe that at the end of this time they're going to receive the ability to impart what has been passed on to them at the end of this 90 days. In other words, they're going to get the anointing. And they are saturating or soaking, as they call it, in the presence of God in order to come to the place where they can get this anointing and pass it on. And they actually believe that that the whole world, or the whole United States, excuse me, is going to fall under this ministry. And, well, anyway, that's the kind of thing that's going on. There are people that know about the man-child. Matter of fact, I can tell you, I don't believe any of these guys knew anything about it until recently. And I think they're picking it up from, in many cases, truths, you know. But also, a bad name is going to be given to the man-child movement through these people. You know, let me say the Sons of God movement was hijacked by a bunch of people who, once they caught on to the revelation that the Bible spoke about concerning the Sons of God, they grabbed it up and ran with it and proclaimed themselves to be the Sons of God. And then that's how the disrepute fell upon that doctrine. Even though it's straight out of the Scriptures, if you take nothing but the Scriptures concerning it, disrepute came to that particular doctrine. It seems that the devil uses this tactic consistently to predetermine people against a truth by picking up a bunch of self-willed goats proclaiming themselves to be somebody that they're not. And then when the truth comes to the forefront, like it did with the Todd Bentley third wave, then it brings disrepute to the word of the Lord. I believe what we're seeing here, folks, is a fourth wave about to come forth, a fourth false wave of revival about to come forth. Garrett goes on, he says, as the game went on, a 20-something man came in and sat behind me. We started a conversation, and it led to my faith in Jesus Christ. I gave him a testimony, and he was very impressed. I told him how the Lord had saved me from some terrible wreck. There's that word again. Okay, he was saved from a terrible wreck. Now, they've just mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs, and these are the people that that have just been calling themselves a wreck because of the so-called spirit that's upon them. Let me say something about that. You know, many years ago, I was very, very hungry for God, seeking God in every way I knew, reading the Word of God day and night. And I remember, and some of you remember too, that I asked the Lord for a confirmation to a certain revelation that He gave me through the Word of Knowledge. And He sent a man that was very gifted and knowledgeable in that He had trained in that to me. And, you know, we started having meetings. The power of the Spirit fell in those meetings. We went for weeks and probably almost a couple of months, literally from 6 o'clock in the evening till 3 o'clock in the morning, and everybody had to get up and go to work in the morning. Okay? We did that nonstop, Saturdays and Sundays. And, You know what everybody found out? That when we were in the Spirit, because God really wanted to give us something good, and what we were sharing with one another was just awesome, because we were in the Spirit, we didn't miss any sleep. There wasn't any train wreck here. You know, there was no wreck here whatsoever. Because we were in the Spirit, we weren't wrecked. There's no way you can go from 6 o'clock in the evening to 3 o'clock in the morning and get up early in the morning to go to work and not miss any sleep. Well, that's exactly what happened. Nobody missed any sleep, and everybody was just jubilant, you know, that the Lord was keeping us and blessing us. No, they're wrecked because they're in a false spirit here. Okay? The same kind of spirit that likes to throw people on the ground, you know, jerk and twitch until their muscles just, until they're just so tired they can't stand up. Well, anyway, let me get beyond that. But anyway, he said, I told him how the Lord had saved me and saved me from some terrible wreck or something. Although he himself was a heathen, he was smiling big and telling others around me what the Lord did for me. Those who do not join the movement on the left, realizing it to be false, will have a testimony and will be saved from a terrible wreck. Because I can tell you, we've seen a lot of terribly wrecked lives that have gotten mixed up in this false movement. And the reason is they're anointed with that false revival spirit. They call wrecked soaking in these false spirits. Garrett goes on to say, he said, after I witnessed to him, I lost all passion to play in the game. And I realized that my sole purpose for being there was to witness to that man. Well, we have something to accomplish for the Lord here, don't we? And competing in the old denominational or sectarian group spirit, you know, a competitive spirit, that's not really anything the Lord wants us to do. He said, so once I had accomplished this, I got up and left the gym. I was walking around the halls of what I soon realized was my childhood elementary school. And so you can see, you know, what level you really think at this particular level of Christianity was. I was trying to find the exit, but everything had changed since I was there last, and I was having trouble finding the exit. In other words, having trouble getting out of there. Yeah. I soon managed to make it outside, and I began to walk away from the school. Well, you know, we have to seek diligently now to come out from among them, and especially their elementary school teachings and their false ways, and especially those that are infected with these false Eastern spirits. We've got to come out from among them. We've got to be separate. These people are poison. They need deliverance. And very few of them actually get the deliverance. And, I mean, this is something we've experienced over here. I pray that in the true revival that's coming, many of these people will get deliverance, especially when they see the real signs and wonders. We'll talk some more about the signs and wonders in just a minute. Garrett goes on to say, as I was standing some way off, I heard police sirens. I quickly looked around and noticed that there was a very big black limousine heading to the school, followed by a motorcade of cops and security. I was really curious who was there, and I assumed it was more elite or dignitaries heading to the school to watch the game. Then I heard a lot of commotion and excitement filled the air, and I heard a voice from somewhere say, it's Jesus. He's come back. I was amazed. I thought to myself, this must be the second coming. Well, at first thought, some of the Antichrist folks who believe that there's a particular man coming around that's going to rule the world would jump on this and say exactly their same old tradition. The false Christ that is coming, or a false anointed, actually the word Christ is anointed, that is coming now, I believe is this fourth wave, at least in regards to this particular doctrine we're talking about here in this vision, is this fourth wave of a false revival movement. This is a false man-child. It's a false man-child movement that will compete with the real man-child, just exactly as Pharaoh's magicians did with Moses, and Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did with Moses. And what happened also back in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 13, which I'll read you a little piece of. It says, Acts chapter 8, verse 9, "But there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery and amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one." Of course, this sorcery here is the same as witchcraft. And this is in the book of Acts, which, of course, speaks of our coming book of Acts, too, that this will happen. "To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying that this man is that power of God which is called great." So you see, folks, these false leaders, these people who are actually moving in witchcraft, Jezebel, Kundalini, whatever, you know, these people can have great power. The fact that we've seen a lot of fakery going on up until now doesn't mean that an anointing can't come that will give them power. They will do things, okay? Verse 11 goes on to say, "And they gave heed unto him, because that from a long time he had amazed them with his sorceries." Yeah, I'm sure it was the same with Jannes and Jambres in Egypt, you know, that that withstood Moses, the Bible says, right? "But when they believed Philip preaching the good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip. And beholding signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed." Well, no doubt some of these people will be Christians or become Christians and infiltrate the Christians, you know. Well, of course, as you read on down, sought to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, saying in verse 19, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." You know, there's nothing you can do to buy the gift or the powers of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything for them. They come by grace. And I want to tell you, the people that God is about to raise up, that's going to be full of them, they're coming by grace too. They didn't buy them. They didn't earn them. It came by grace. But in verse 20, Peter said unto him, "Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thoughts of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. For I see that thou art unto the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." And another example, you know, of the, this of course was in the former reign, and you think we'll see the same thing in the latter reign? I can guarantee it. Yes, we will. So here's another one in Acts 13, say from verse 3 on down. And this was of course right after God had made some apostles from prophets and teachers in verse 1. And verse 3 says, "Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." That is the apostles. They were sent forth here. After this, they were called apostles. Do you know that the Lord is about to make some apostles? You know, Jesus was an apostle. He was also the prophet that Moses spoke about that was coming. And Jesus was also the man-child. So now we have a man-child, prophet, apostle that is coming too. And it is Jesus himself, manifested in his people as he promised, the first fruits of those in whom he's going to manifest. But when Jesus shows up, folks, he's going to look just like the Jesus that we read about in the Bible. He's going to be no different whatsoever. Verse 4 says, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit went down to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, And when they were at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue to the Jews. And they had also John as their attendant. And when they had gone through the whole island unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which means son of Jesus. Interesting, huh? Another, here's a false Jesus, right? Of course, once again, what he was using for power was sorcery or witchcraft. Okay? And I tell you, the churches are just rampant with that. Witchcraft. And that's what we're seeing going on. These lies. Remember, Satan can't cast out Satan. Well, they can do a lot of pretty miraculous things and make you think that they're doing something, but it just doesn't seem to last for some reason. It hasn't in these revivals. Anybody that gets healed seems to walk away and lose it before they get out the door. Verse 7 says, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of understanding, the same called unto him Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name means by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fastened his eyes upon him and said, O full of all guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to see the same exact thing. Now, they will call it the Holy Spirit, and they will call it, they will consider that they are the man-child seeking to take a position that's not theirs. But just like these men, they're going to be shown up. They're not going to, just like Moses, when Moses came along, remember Moses' staff swallowed up their staff. You know, their fakery and even their signs and wonders that actually manifest some miracle is going to be small compared to what God can do, and it's going to be proven. And anyway, Garrett said, I quickly ran back to the school, and as I was running, I saw a Secret Service agent pull in behind me and got out of his black SUV and said, hurry and secure Jesus. There is a man running towards him. He was talking about me. But I ran faster to the door of the building. And when I opened the door, I saw something out of the scene from a Hollywood award show. And the madness that ensues on the red carpet. Flashbulbs were everywhere. Reporters were frantically trying to position themselves around the room. And I heard commotion and nervous excitement fill the air. I looked directly across the room at a platform, and I saw him. It was Jesus. Or so he thought at the time. Okay. You know, the world has shown every kind of attention and respect to the false leaders of Christianity. And what does this prove? It proves that they are not who they say they are. John 15 and 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. Now, when the world wants to show a lot of attention to somebody that proclaims to be somebody, it's because they are not somebody. It's just that simple. Okay. Jesus went on, he said, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. How is it that they know this about us? Well, they know that we have a different spirit, and they know that the spirit inside of them has a hatred for the spirit inside of the true people of God. because they have the beast inside of them. You know, you only have two kinds of spirits in the world, according to 1 John, right? Those in whom Christ lives and those in whom he does not. And that is, of course, Christ and Antichrist. Christ and what we call the beast, right? You know, the world beast will not, as the Secret Service agent did, seek the protection of the true Jesus when they have sought his death in the past. You remember the beast governments of every generation have sought to destroy the ones in whom Christ lived. What's different now? Nothing. Nothing. Even as the apostate church is going to hate Jesus also. Listen to what he said in John 15 and 25. But this cometh to pass that the world may be fulfilled, the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And who was that? Well, that was God's people, so called. They will love a false man-child every time because they love the glory of men. John 5 and 43 says, I am come in my Father's name, and you received me not. Who received them not? The so-called people of God. He said, if another shall come in his own name, in other words, representing himself, right, him you will receive. Has anything changed? No, nothing has changed. History always repeats. And the next verse says, how can you believe, you who receive glory one of another? And the glory that cometh from the only God you seek not. See, here's the clue, folks. There are those who seek to have glory in this world from men. So they can't believe. People that have that problem cannot believe on the true Jesus, nor can they ever have the true Jesus living in them. Because the true Jesus is very humble and very meek and very self-effacing and very not so Hollywood award show type thing or red carpet type thing. You can't imagine Jesus showing up for anything like that. The flash bulbs and the reporters and the fame and so on and so forth. Why would the Secret Service agent seek to protect a Jesus? Well, it would have to be some false prophet that is in bed with the beast government. You understand? And that is happening. You know, we shared a while back how that all the top end of apostate Christianity is being bought off by Reverend Moon and the CIA and the Bilderbergers and so on and so forth. It's astounding. It's on our site. You can read it if you like. These people have no affinity for any kind of doctrine of Reverend Moon, but because of his money, they're taking gifts from him. And now they can't say enough good things about him. They've been bought out. Well, this is in this particular dream, it speaks expressly of this false revival movement and the apostolic movement that's being raised up in this, which is very, very interesting. Well, I'm going to go on. Garrett said, I stared at him in bewilderment. That is this Jesus, right? And he stared back at me across the room. I was shocked by his appearance. He did not appear like what you would commonly perceive him to be. He did not look Jewish, and he did not have any Middle Eastern features. Well, you know, remember now, in a dream, it's a parable. You know, if this Jesus doesn't look like the Jesus, then he has not put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the man-child who comes is going to look like the Jesus. He's going to walk and talk, and let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked, right? And do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be Jesus himself manifested in them through his Spirit, through his Word. Well, you know they haven't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and nor have they been transformed into that same image, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Right? So this can't be the Jesus coming back. Right? You know, Jesus was the man-child, and he was also called an apostle, even as the false Christs who imitate him. are calling themselves apostles. Right? Garrett went on. He said, he was Latin or Italian with long, sleek, straight, black hair. And of course, we've noticed that black hair, or hair in particular, speaks of submission in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In this case, black hair, so it's submission to darkness. He went on to say he was very attractive. And I heard some women say, he's so handsome. Have you ever noticed that a lot of the TV personalities are that way? You know, they're very attractive, you know, and sometimes handsome. Well, God didn't choose Jesus or the man-child to have any fleshly enticement. You notice the kind of people that Jesus picked, by the way. You know, these fishermen, these rough guys, you know, no theologians, no polished people, you know, no polished speakers or anything like that. You know, Isaiah 53 and 2 says, for he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Why is it that God wouldn't send his son or his representatives with some kind of fleshly enticement? Why is it that he doesn't pick the best looking bunch out there? You know, people think, well, it's God. We ought to build him a very nice temple here, you know. You notice that? You know, but have you noticed that Jesus never worried about temples or cared anything about them in the slightest? You know, they think that God has to have the best from a worldly perspective. But it's not that way at all. It seems that God would have provided Jesus with a better looking body. But you know what? He didn't want to. He didn't want people to be drawn to him for fleshly reasons. He wanted people to be drawn to him for the Word of God. And so there are people that put on a really nice show, really flashy, nice clothes, nice cars, fancy stage, so on and so forth. But let me tell you, that's just not God. It's not his heart. You know? And if you got a false man-child that shows up, and he's very attractive, very handsome, skin deep, you know, then, and he's especially liked by the world, or felt to be very important by the worldly Christians, then you should suspect something, right? And Garrett went on, he was being shuffled off the platform to a door on the right that went somewhere. I assumed it was to a news conference to show him to the world. He looked into the crowd and said, hurry, I need an assistant. And he pointed to a young Christian that I knew and said, come with me. That's when he and his entourage rushed through the door to the awaiting world outside. And all the media and reporters followed them out of this door. And soon the room was pretty much empty and quiet. It looked like the morning after a New Year's Eve party with garbage and paper lying on the ground. Well, you know what the New Year's Eve party reminds me of is the parties that the false revival third wave people are into, that is drunk in the spirit parties, right? It also reminds me of the party that the people of God, when they were waiting on Moses to come, when they had created the golden calf, the party that they had fallen into, right? Jesus and his disciples were nothing to look at and sought to elude the limelight, preferring to give glory only to God. This seeking of fame and putting on a show for the world is the signature of the false revival movement and its apostate apostles. And I'll go beyond that because that's what they're speaking about in this particular dream. But as you know, this is covering the leadership of all apostate Christianity that seek to build their kingdom, seek to be in the limelight, seek to be acceptable to the world. If what they say is persecuted by the world, they quickly back up and rephrase it. As you've noticed, but 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Where would a minister of righteousness show up, folks, to a Christians, or even to worldly Christians? Well, he would show up in the pulpit. And that's where the major portion of them are today. They're not coming out of the world. The church, the harlot church, doesn't respect those that are coming out of the world. They respect those that they believe are Christians. And they try to talk the talk. And they try to put on the show, right? Well, the harlot church will be those who will continue to follow these false apostles, or false man-childs, if you will. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers." And down in verse 5, "holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women." We've noticed that these are sects of Christianity. "Laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth." Well, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses with doing the same miracles that he did. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the third wave is not the most dangerous wave. I believe the fourth wave is the most dangerous wave. I believe what we're going to see now is an apostolic movement that is going to fake the man-child movement and oppose the man-child movement, just like what happened with Jannes and Jambres and Moses, and do some signs and wonders. I'm talking about real signs and wonders. It goes on to say, "Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be." That's very interesting, because that's just what happened here recently, folks. You remember all those glorious apostles got up there and anointed Todd Bentley, and right after that, the whole world discovered who he was. Even the world knew who he was. And suddenly he wasn't on TV every day, and he wasn't in his big building anymore, and suddenly it was, you know, what an embarrassment. These men, the Lord showed them up for who they were. They'll wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, Jannes and Jambres went a step beyond the third wave fakery of the Todd Bentleys. They actually did lying signs and wonders, which I believe, of course, confirm false men and their false word. That's what makes it a lying sign and wonder. You know, the Bible says the Lord confirmed his word with signs and wonders. So what if a false man and a false word is confirmed by a sign or wonder? Well, that's a lying sign or wonder. Okay. So we need to pray that God will give us wisdom and discernment, so that we can see the wolves under the sheep's clothing, right? And Garrett went on. He said, "As I was thinking on what I had seen, the back door flew open, and I quickly turned around. And there in the doorway stood a very big and hairy beast, as big as a buffalo. He had authority and power. And I watched as he marched in the room and began giving orders to minions that were running around and doing important tasks. He had a plan. He was making sure that it would go off without a hitch. I came to realize that this beast was in total control." Yes, the beast is going to conquer the world, isn't he? But it isn't who they think it is. The beast from the pit, inhabiting lost mankind, is the one that's going to take control over the earth. And he, that is the beast, was the one that orchestrated the events of the false Messiah showing himself to the world. just as minutes earlier. Yeah, do you know who is behind the true man-child, which is Jesus in a body, showing himself in a corporate body, showing himself to the world? Well, it is Jesus himself, right? And who is behind the false Messiah? Yes, it's the Antichrist spirit that's in the world. The Jesus I had seen earlier was just a decoy. He was not really Jesus. The beast was tricking the world to receive this false Messiah. Then they would receive the beast behind the scenes without even knowing it. As I watched this creature in this war room giving orders and planning, I realized the size and scope of this deception. No one knew what was taking place in this room. They had all left earlier with the false Messiah. I was astonished in what I was seeing. The evil plan of this beast was deceiving the whole world. Yes, and it will too. It'll deceive the whole world, even those Christians who are worldly. You know, Egypt resisted the true man-child, Moses, who was sent to set the spiritual man free, the Israelite. And the reason that they resisted was because they respected Jannes and Jambres, false signs and leadership. You know, in this way, the Egyptian beast ruled through these false prophets. You remember when Pharaoh saw the signs that Moses was doing, he called his magicians and they did the same, and then he was appeased. You know, he had no reason to really humble himself to Moses, and he didn't, because he thought, well, hey, my old sorcerers here, they can do the same thing. Well, the same thing with the world, folks. There will be no reason for people to repent when they receive a false Messiah in a false man-child. So that's what the devil's got up his sleeve next, I think. And Garrett said, I kept watching this beastly creature and noticed many things about him. When I first saw him, he had two heads. The one on the left was skinnier and taller, like it had less importance. Well, this is the corporate false prophet. This is the one we're talking about. The false. Remember that the man-child with Jesus inside is the prophet that's coming in our day. Jesus was the prophet that came in his day, and Jesus in the man-child is the prophet that's coming in our day. Well, the opposite of that is the false prophet, who is what? The leadership over the harlot, the false church. See, the devil is copying everything that the Lord is doing. It just takes a little bit of discernment to see the difference, right? So this corporate false prophet is this left, skinnier, and taller head. He is also a member of the body of the beast and has his nature. Do you know that the beast is in the church? He's just called the son of perdition, right? People point out 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the son of perdition is the Antichrist. Yes, but they're wrong about one thing. It's not the Antichrist in the world, it's the Antichrist that's in the church. That's what Judas was. He was called the son of perdition. And he was the Antichrist in the church. He belonged to the body of the beast. He was a member of the body of the beast by virtue of his nature, but he was walking in the church. And so that's what we've got. We've got a bunch of false apostles coming forward to take up the mantle of what they think is the man-child, and what they would like to convince everybody is the man-child, and yet they're fakes. And he said the one on the right was large, broad, and round, speaking about the head of the two-headed beast here. The orders seemed to come from this head. Well, this is the corporate governmental beast who uses the false prophet to rule. You remember there were two beasts in Revelation 13, right? The first beast was that governmental beast. The second beast was that religious false prophet beast. See, it had two heads in Revelation 13 also. The beast has two heads. One of them is the false prophet. That's the one that's in the church and actually ruling over the church as it was in Jesus' day. The Sanhedrin in Jesus' day ruled over the church. They were the corporate false prophet. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. So they were Antichrist, you see. So when the beast is overcome, he will not need the false prophet and their harlot system, and he will devour them with fire, as the Bible tells us very plainly in Revelation 17. And Garrett went on to say, after some time I found myself in a back room that was outside the beast's war room. He walked in there and shut the door behind him and was addressing some people in there. He was revealing his plan clear to this select group. This is when I saw him take off his head, and there was a human head underneath it. It was the face of someone I have seen before, the lead singer of a satanic rock group called Korn. He was laughing hysterically and taking pride in the plan that was underway. The plan of what? To deceive the people, right? Well, underneath the beast, folks, are people, right? The Bible, their true satanic nature will be revealed once the trap for the apostates is sprung and the church has been cleansed of the sons of perdition. See, all this is coming upon the world for one purpose, to separate the sheep from the goats. The deception is coming and the truth is coming. We know that the true people of God won't buy the lie. But all those that love their pleasure in unrighteousness will, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen what it says. And then shall we reveal the lawless one. Who is this lawless one? He's talking about the lawless one that's in the church. Right? He's talking about the son of perdition, as he spoke of earlier in this chapter, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God is basically going to cleanse the church by this deception. That's what he's going to use it for. It says, God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God did it. Did you notice that the son of perdition in Jesus' day was one of the apostles? And Jesus knew who he really was. He said, didn't I choose you 12, and one of you is a devil? So he knew there was a fake apostle in their midst. Do we have those today? Yes, they are the sons of perdition. They belong to the devil. They appear to have been chosen, but they have followed the devil. And they will be revealed in their time. But first they have a job to do. And their job is to do two things. Crucify the Christ and deceive the people of God. Anybody that they can deceive. And the only ones that they can deceive are the goats. So God's going to separate the sheep from the goats, isn't he? This is their false man-child that's coming here. On our site, we have Revelations. I'm trying to remember of all this false leadership that's being bought out by the beast government, you know. We have articles on our site concerning that. One of them is unleavenedbreadministries.org/?page=US beast. That's a very significant one, and there's lots of links on that one. That's www.unleavenedbreadministries.org/?page=US beast. A bunch of links there that point out to you what is astounding to me, and that is how that the government, in a very sly way, has bought out the leadership of Christianity. The greedy, false leadership of Christianity. Yep. They have proven who they are. Let me put it that way.